Sports Day for Kia.
The super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6.
And Lumo SA. Aussie owned, made for South Australia.
Welcome to Sports Day. Another massive show for you on a Thursday night. Paul Bonza along with the great man, KG Cunningham. KG, how are you on a Thursday?
I am fantastic. Thank you, Paul. Nice to be with you once again. And gee whiz, we got sport coming out of our ears. It's it's everywhere,
I'm
Paul.
Glad you said ears then. Big show tonight. Later in the show, we'll speak to Tom Wren, Todd Gray, the Greyhound racing guru, and Sunday Jets from the Adelaide 36ers. Didn't they have a great win on Tuesday?
Oh, well, you were there.
Yes,
you
were, I was.
Calling it. I gave them no chance to beat the Wildcats, no chance.
No, they were excellent and well-deserved their win. They've got another game on Saturday, but we'll speak to Sunday Detch about that a bit later on.
Yep.
Time for the hot topic straight off the bat, thanks to Barbecues Galore, and you can shop online and in-store at Barbecues Galore. The range, the price, the knowledge, now you're cooking. I can smell the Barbie from here. The hot topic of the day, great day at the Aussie Open for the Aussies.
Well, fantastic, Paul. We had young Madison Inglis, a young girl from WA, getting through. Chris O'Connell, I must be perfectly honest, I watched that match and I hadn't heard of the young man before today. And looking up some information, he's had a lot of injuries and sickness, but for him to win today was fantastic. And, of course, Alex Dimonor got through in straight sets. So a pretty healthy day so far as the Australians were concerned. But what about, I can't wait for until tonight. It'll be an absolute ripper night tonight.
It's your Kyrgios tonight.
Oh, yeah. Kyrgios and Medvedev. Now, what will Kyrgios bring to us tonight at the Australian Open, do you think?
Well, that's the thing about Nick Kyrgios.
You don't know, do you?
Is that you do not know.
And he probably doesn't know either.
No, he probably doesn't either. But it's for Medvedev. I wonder how confident he goes into this game, not knowing whether Kyrgios is just going to play his normal game or he's going to pull something out of the box.
Look, I would love young Nick Kyrgios to start well, get a positive start, and get the crowd involved in the action. Look, okay, there's been some criticism about the crowd's too noisy and it's over the top. I personally love it. I don't know what the fans at home were. If you've been watching the tennis, what's your reaction to the crowd behaviour? I love it because that's what sport's about, Paul. You've been in sport all your life. It's personalities.
Shouldn't you pay your money? Shouldn't you be allowed to cheer on and get excited by the game? I think that's all the fans are doing. They're just getting excited and being part of the environment.
Because you never know what to expect with young Nick. He serves underarm, then he hits one between his legs, and then he goes ripping down the line, and the crowd get out of the seats, and they go absolutely bunter.
There's no doubting his talent. Oh. He's a very special talent.
Well, Paul, Had he stayed on the rails, I reckon he would have been number one for sure. No question. Well, he's beaten Djokovic twice, I think.
Yes.
So there's no doubting his ability, but it's just been the other things that have sidetracked him.
Sorry, we spoke briefly off air.
Yep.
Some players have the drive
to
be number one in the world.
See, that's a very good issue you raise because I can't understand why if a person's got so much talent, why hasn't that same person, male or female, got the drive to use that talent that God gave them? And I've seen so many young people that have an enormous amount of talent but just waste it. And I think Nick Kyrgios is one of them.
And look, and that just goes with human nature. People are different personalities, and some people like to push themselves and not stop and just keep going, and they have that inner drive. Mm. Where someone like a Nick Kyrgios, tennis is important to him, but it's not everything.
It's not the world to him, is it?
That's right. It's not everything.
No, it's amazing. Anyway, give us your thoughts, folks. 8223 0000. What are you expecting from the crowd tonight? What are you expecting from Nick Kyrgios? And in fact, what do you want to see from young Nick Kyrgios tonight? It'll be on for young and old.
And also, women's Ashes.
Yeah, actually,
starts. Well. It starts while we're on air,
exactly,
so it starts
right.
At 6:40.
So I'll be home while the television watching it, and I reckon they're good things, Paul, to be quite frank. I think this Australian side's a very good side. I'll be keen to see whether they play Elise Perry. I don't think I'd play her.
She's not in my 11?
No, not in my 11, but I think Australia's got the wood on England.
Which in itself sounds stupid not to play Perry in the best Australian team,
arguably the best, greatest ever female cricketer. Yes. Arguably.
Yes. And no, I don't think she's in my T20 side.
Not in your T20 side.
No, we've got a caller on the line. Troy from Collie in WA wants to speak about Justin Langer. Troy, welcome to Sports Day.
Bonza, how are you, son?
Loves you, Bonza.
Oh, I don't know. This is a long-lost relative from WA.
That can't be your real name, Bonza. Come on.
Yeah, well, I was born with it, so it must be.
What's your point, Troy?
Hey, KG, how you going, buddy?
Yeah, good,
hey,
mate. Boy,
KG, I've heard you a few times, especially with the AFL. I think we all agree on the eastern side of New South Wales, Queensland border, whatever it is, that the Vics run the AFL.
Yep.
See? I'm saying VFL. And I think fine New South Wales are running the Cricket Australia, and I've got a name for you for the new coach, if it's not Langer.
Who?
Trevor Bayliss.
Well, that's the big message that was going around. That was the message that was coming because he coached England, and that was the message, Troy, coming out of the England dressing room that they were keen to get him. But I think the mood may have changed now, Troy. I think you'll find that I can't tell you what has happened, but I think the mood in the room has changed. I think you'll find that Justin Langer will get the extension that he said he wanted to continue coaching the Australian cricket. And really, Troy, I'd like your opinion on this. It's a no-brainer. This issue should never have ever been discussed because they were unhappy with certain things. They met with Langer. Langer said, "Okay, boys, I'll change my ways." He did that. And look at the results we've had. The T20 World Cup, we've never won that before, and we've just smashed England. So what more can Justin Langer do, really?
Yeah, no, it's, and we've seen it in the AFL, boys. You know, players have got far too much say in what goes. You know, they've got to realise their place. And if they think they're bigger than the association, well, they need to be like the clown that's going to play tonight on the tennis, Nick Kyrgios.
Well, hang on. Don't say he's a clown.
All right. Well, anyway, hey, but the problem is, KG, I think I might have said to you before, the problem with common sense, mate, it's not common.
And on that note, thanks for your call, Troy. Some good points there all the way from WA.
He's fired up tonight, old Troy, that's for sure.
Now I want to ask you one thing, and I'm a bit upset about this. Amanda Jade Wellington not being in that initial squad.
This is the strikers.
The women's Ashes.
Leg spinner, not in the squad. Well, I asked that question. We interviewed young Talia McGrath last night. And who's the striker's captain, and I asked her that very same question, and she sort of went around the bush a bit, but said that both really have had good years. But I thought young Wellington was so unlucky, to be honest.
When you stack up long term over the last 2 or 3 years, you stack up Amanda Jade Wellington against Alana King,
who's in the side.
It's chalk and cheese. Amanda Jade Wellington should be in that squad.
Well, then
it's a disgrace.
Right, okay. Well, then, now, let me ask you this question.
Okay.
Paul, look me in the eye.
I am.
If the figures say that she should and her performances say she should, can I ask you, why isn't she in the squad? Or why isn't she in the team?
Let's get Matthew Mott on the phone and try and get an answer. He's a bit busy at the moment because the girls are about to start.
But
I think it's wrong.
Well, we've got Matthew Mott coming on tomorrow night. So I'll put the question to him. How close did it come? How tough was the decision to split Alana King in preference to young Wellington?
Yeah, I just think it's not. If it was the men's team and this was happening, there'd be outrage.
Really?
I believe so, yeah.
Because they're both leg spin bowlers, but they bowl differently. Young Wellington does the loop. And Alana King, and I haven't seen too much of her, is a bit quicker through the air.
Wellow turns it and was the leading wicket taker in the BBL. Alana King's a very good bowler, good player. Bowls a bit flatter, more of a white ball bowler.
Yep.
But unless they're not going to play a spinner in the test match, I'm not sure.
There's a bit of controversy. And it hit the fan.
Just on the Ashes, I can let you know that Australia has won the toss and they're fielding first. So
fielding
the
first.
English will bat first.
Why would you do?
They often do. Meg Lanning likes to chase.
Does she?
Yeah, she averages about 80 chasing.
I wonder whether Elise Perry is in the side.
No, we'll try and get that for you shortly as well, just before we go to the break. Now, Strikers take on Hobart, speaking of BBL.
Yep.
Tomorrow.
That's tomorrow night. That's at the MCG, I think, isn't it?
Yes. Head and Carey back in the side.
Well, yeah, look, that's fantastic, and that'll bring the Strikers right into the contest because they're both class acts, particularly Travis Head at the moment. He's on fire with the bat, so that's going to make an enormous difference. The only thing that I'm not happy about is young Thomas Kelly is out.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Now, Paul, you love your cricket.
Yeah.
He's been the bright shining light of the Strikers. I love his energy. I love his enthusiasm. And now he's missed out. I'm not happy with that.
Yeah, sad story. But there you go. Can't have everyone in there.
It's not the Strikers' mistake.
No.
It's the rules of the BBL, what do you call it?
The BBL, yes. The BBL. It is. Now, I can tell you that Elise Perry did not make the final 11, so she's not
there
playing.
There you go. See, you're wealth of knowledge now. Yeah. Pulling all the shots.
About to go to a break. Thanks to the super fast charging all electric Kia EV6, as silent as its critics. You can find out more at kia.com/au. And after the break, we're going to speak to the great man,
who's
Tom Wren, live from the Australian Open. Cannot wait for that. He's having a ball over there at the Aussie Open.
He called it beautifully today, too. Absolutely.
Yeah, the golden tonsils of Tom Wren. Coming up after the break, this is Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. The super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. And Lumo SA. Aussie owned, made for Adelaide.
Welcome back to Sports Day SA. KG Cunningham and Paul Bonds are with you. And KG, you can save a massive $45,000 on all next-gen homes. All you got to do is visit weeks.com.au.
Simple as that, Paul.
Simple as that. Our good friends at Weeks.
Exactly right.
Now it's time for an Australian Open update, thanks to the fast-charging all-electric Kia EV6. It's as silent as its critics, and you can find out more at kia.com/au. And who else would we talk to about the Australian Open?
A lovely young man.
Than our very own Tom Wren. Rennie, hello and welcome to Sports Day.
Thanks for having me on, boys. You know what? They talk about doubles pairings a lot over here at the tennis, but the pairing and the partnership in that studio right now doesn't get much better. Bonzer and Cunningham.
Let's just move on, shall we?
Exactly.
It's been a good day for the Aussies over there, Tommy.
Really good, you know, and great to see a couple of Aussies that are the lesser lights, if you like, and I say that with, you know, great respect to them, but I don't think that many people would have expected Chris O'Connell to go through to the third round, his best ever achievement at a Grand Slam, and similar for Madison Inglis, so really good, and, you know, can set up their year now in terms of prize money and what it means for them, so that's a really great result.
Gee, what about that first set that Chris O'Connell played? How tight was that, Tommy?
It was extraordinary. I mean, an hour and 24 minutes, KG. It's 30 degrees over here today. So with that reflected heat, it's, you know, 6, 7, 8 degrees hotter than that when you're on the court. It was stifling stuff. But for him to come back 3-5, save 3 set points, that was a huge effort. And I think it broke the back of Schwartzman, to be honest. I don't think he expected to come up against an opponent as stiff as that. So full credit to O'Connell for coming out the way he did. And look, Cage, you love the story of a player that comes up against adversity. He's had knee tendonitis, stress fractures in his back, and he's overcome it all, and here he is in the third round.
Unbelievable story, absolutely. Good luck to him.
What about Madison Inglis? Tell us a little bit about her game, Tom.
Well, just a young player, fresh out of Perth, you know, one of these up-and-comers, and struggled in Adelaide, to be honest, Bond, so didn't really expect too much from her. But another one who today has, you know, defied the expectations. And the thing with the women's draw is, boys, it is so open. The men's is more open than it's been for many years. But the women's draw, the number 3 seed, Garbine Muguruza, falls out today. The number 6 seed, Annette Kondaveit, falls out. The number 12 seed, Elena Rybakina, is forced to withdraw. So, you know what? Why can't she go a little bit further?
Yes.
But Hayley Baptiste today in 3 sets, a really good win after a straight sets win against Leila Fernandez, the US Open final last year. So this is the thing. It is wide open on the women's side.
Gee, I thought Alex Diminor was impressive today, Tommy, too.
Yeah. You know what, KG? I think after dropping that first set in the first round, and I went, he's not looking great here for Alex. But since then, he's just been all business, and he looks focused. He looks fitter than he's been. Had a really frustrating 2021, to be honest, Cage. But he looks like now he's someone who can, you know, go a bit further. And I reckon with hotter temperatures forecast for the next 4 or 5 days, KG, I think it helps a player like him who is fit and loves to grind his opponents into the ground. So I think he's good enough to be able to get to the second week and maybe as far as a quarterfinal.
Whoa.
Well, there you go. Tom's put his wallet on it into the quarterfinals for De Minaur. Sam Stosur unfortunately went down today, but a nice finish to her last Australian Open.
I thought it was almost the perfect opponent for her. You know, these tennis players, and, you know, greatest respect to them, they can live in their own bubble at times, and a lot of them do. But Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova, I think, recognised this match isn't about me going through to the third round. It's about recognising Sam Stosur's contribution to the sport. And she stayed out there and she applauded her as she went through all her post-match stuff. It was really classy, I thought, from Pavlyuchenkova. So I was so glad that it came that her final singles match at the Australian Open was against someone like that who recognised it's not about me winning, it's about this person's career. So well done to her for that. And you're right, Bonds. I mean, you know, she's the 2009 US Open champion, beat Serena Williams when she was at her zenith, at her peak, has won multiple doubles Grand Slam titles, mixed doubles champion as well. I mean, she is a giant of the sport. I actually think she's probably a bit underappreciated for how much she's done for the sport of tennis, and I think set the platform for people like Ash Barty to come through.
Yeah, good point, Tommy. Tommy, who was the young lady that served six double faults today? I was watching the game thing. What's going on here?
KG, it's like getting the yips in putting, you know, when you've got those ones from 2 or 3 feet and your hands start shaking.
Yeah.
Now, I would say I've had the yips with golf putting, but to have the yips, I think you've got to be good in the first place. So I don't tick that box, unfortunately.
This but girl, what's she ranked, number two or number three in the world?
The number two seed, Cage, and she served six double faults in one game.
Yeah, I know.
21, 19 or 21 for the match, I think it was, and still goes through to the third round. She got so bad with her serving in Adelaide, she started serving underarm. I have heard a little birdie tell me that Mark Philippoussis has been trying to help her and do some work with her, the scud. So hopefully she sorts it out. But boy, oh boy, I think we'll see more of her in the, you know, coming days, next couple of days, her third round match. She wants to get that sorted. Otherwise, she might be throwing little lollipops over there.
That just seems crazy to me.
I was watching it.
The number two player in the world has to serve underarm to get the ball in. That just seems like under 10 stuff. It's crazy, Tom.
Exactly right.
It's mind-boggling, isn't it? It's just crazy. But you know, it's legal to do that, but it clearly in her head, I think she's worked on something mechanically in the off season to try and get her serving to a better level. But obviously that has just toyed with her head to the point now where she almost just can't do it. And look, we have seen it. You know, Ian Baker Finch, remember all those years over the putting?
Yep.
He just lost it. And it does happen to professionals. I guess it shows they're human and not robotic. You know, you still have to execute it, but highly unusual, and you know, it's one of the stranger things I've seen.
Exactly right.
So it's box office time tonight. Nick Kyrgios versus Medvedev. Are you on the edge of your seat waiting for this one, Tom?
You just don't know what you're going to get with Nick Kyrgios. And look, I think we've all been through the stage with him where we get frustrated by him because, you know, you think so much talent, but I think now probably at the point where you go, you know what, that's just Nick. And it is frustrating, I think, because you go, just harness that talent, but he'll give you the tweeners, he'll give you the behind-the-back shots, he'll give you, you know, entertainment. I think if he's going to do anything, boys, he's got to do it early. Because he's played so few tournaments in the last 2 years, he's just not going to have that fitness base that Medvedev has got. So if he can protect his serve, this is a huge if, maybe he can start to ask some questions and win, say, a tight first set. Maybe he can do it. But I think if he drops that first set, he's going to find it really, really tough. Medvedev's probably and deservedly the favourite on the men's side. So it's going to be tough, but Nick has got one hell of a game and he's box office when he's going.
Is he ever?
Does he get a set off Medvedev, you think, or not?
I think if he does, it's the first. I really do. And then if the crowd gets going and, You know, Nick's feeling it. Who knows? And Medvedev is a bit of a ticking time bomb in his own mind as well. Yeah. But if they played 15 times, Kyrgios might win once.
Tommy, I've loved the crowd, except when they start banging the side of the court. But I love the reaction. They love Kyrgios. They just light up the stone. There's been some criticism from people saying that, the crowd's way over the top, shouldn't make that noise. What's your take on that?
I don't mind it. I mean, KG, I think it's all about fans and engagement. And that's what KG, that's what Kyrgios is. I mean,
that's him.
The 21st century, and that's him. And isn't it funny? He plays at John Cain Arena, which is a stadium where the general public can come in, so you don't need to have a corporate ticket, if you like. He's got a 10-3 record on that court.
Yep.
Take him to Rod Laver Arena, which is not 150 metres away. He's 1-4. Mm. He prefers to be playing in front of a rowdy, excitable, happy crowd. That's what he loves. He wants them to be buzzing and to be making noise. So I think I'm all for it, KG. And I think, to be honest, most players are, including Daniil Medvedev. I don't know if you remember, but at the US Open a couple of years ago, he made the final.
Yep.
And they were hissing and booing him. He fed off it. And so I think he's used to that kind of stuff. He'll be fine. He's a professional. He'll be ready for it.
Yep.
And we've got to wait till Ash Barty for tomorrow night. She's back on court tomorrow night.
And look, deserves to be the favourite. Although, Bonds, she's got the tougher side of the draw. There's no doubt about that, particularly with some of the big seeds going out today, as I mentioned earlier, Muguruza and Kontaveit. Look, not going to be easy for Ash with Naomi Osaka waiting in that potential fourth round. But the way she's playing at the moment, Ash, she looks great. Camilla Giorgi is a good player. The thing about her is, the Italian, very hit and miss. When she's hot, she's dangerous. When she's cold, she can barely hit the side of a barn. So, if she brings the former, she could be a handful. But Barty's at that level now where she's just so good. I expect her to get through. From there, though, boys, it starts to get really tricky.
Yep, I love it. I love it. I love it.
All right, thanks for your time, Tom. Enjoy your time over there. Hang on, KG's got
one. No, I thought you called beautifully today, Tommy. I listened to the Chris O'Connell match and sat back and said, there's a South Australian boy flying the flag, son.
Thanks so much, KG. Look, I was just a bit, I was a bit flat because what happened was we had to go to the Sam Stosur match. And so they said, Tommy, we need the studio because there was only one studio to call both matches from. And I said, but I'm midway through this match. Leave me on. Don't tag me out now. But anyway, that's the business, KG. You just do what you're told.
Yeah, exactly right, Tommy.
Fantastic.
Good on you, son. Thanks, Tommy.
Thanks, boys. Great work.
I loved it. I've enjoyed the tennis.
Yeah, it's
couldn't
been really
believe
good.
Sabalenka, I think that's how you say the lady's name.
Yep.
Great player, but sixth, kept serving one double forward after the other.
Number two player in the world. Crazy stuff. And that was Tom Wren, thanks to super fast charging, all electric Kia EV6 and Lumo SA, Aussie owned with energy plans and great local rewards made for Adelaide. After the break, 36er Sunday Ditch.
Sports Day for Kia. The super fast charging all electric Kia EV6 and Lumo SA. Aussie owned, made for Adelaide.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Bonds and KG with you. And the week's open line is 8223 0000. And you can save $45,000 on your next home with the week's homes. Now, KG, Sixers had a massive win against their arch rivals, the Wildcats.
They hadn't played at Paul for 31 days.
31 days in hibernation.
And come up against the Perth Wildcats and knock them off. I don't believe it.
Yes, and we have one of their stars. Sunday Detch is on the line thanks to Tyre Power, Australia's biggest independent tyre retailer. Think safety this January. Get a 5-minute tyre safety check at your local Tyre Power store. Please welcome to the show, Sunday Detch. G'day, Sunday. How are you going?
I'm doing good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Now, massive win on Tuesday night against the Wildcats. You had an 87-74 win, but you got out the blocks in the first half, led by 21 at half time. Your first quarter, the first half, was some of the best defensive play from the 36ers I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, look, I mean, obviously it's no secret that we've had slow starts this year, and that was a huge focus point of ours going into the Christmas break after the game against Cairns. And you know, had a disrupted month leading into this game. But, you know, obviously we still had some massive focus points and defense was one of them. So I think from the get-go, we're on the ball and kind of, yeah, knocked off our game plan to a T.
So Sunday, from a personal point of view, that was your first game back. You've been dogged with a bad injury. How did you pull up and how did you find it?
Yeah, oh, look, I felt awesome. Obviously, first game back in nearly 2 months, got hurt way back in preseason, in our last preseason game. So I guess the break did me a world of good, you know, enabled my quad to recover. But I felt really good out there. I think the first quarter, I was a little bit like trying to find my bearings. But then once that got going, I was good to go after that.
Now, you haven't been training as well. You've been in quarantine. The guys have been talking over Zoom. But is it true you only had about a week's training or a few days before the Wildcats game?
Yeah, the team did. So obviously we got hit with COVID and had to be in lockdown. And God, a few of us, myself and Isaac, Tad and Manny Malou, got out Monday. So the Monday before the game was our first day with the team in a couple of weeks. And then, yeah, obviously game Tuesday. So we had, yeah, less than 24 hours to prepare for them. But, you know, we've been watching film, you know, obviously talking over Zoom, and the coaches and teammates were checking in every day on us, which that was good.
Sunday, was the COVID problem one of the reasons why Isaac Humphries only had 4 minutes of court time?
Yeah, definitely. I think, well, we got out Monday, so for a lot of us, obviously Isaac's in an apartment, so we couldn't really give him a treadmill up there. So I was lucky. I was able to have a treadmill and run and get my fitness up to level. But, yeah, just getting out Monday, playing Tuesday, such a quick turnaround. Yep. And there's always that risk, right? So the risk to reward wasn't quite there with ice, but he had a really good session today, and I'm sure he'll be bouncing, you know, getting ready to tackle Melbourne on Saturday.
Tell us a little bit about CJ Bruton, new coach, first time in a head coaching role. Have you enjoyed his coaching style?
Oh, I loved it. Nah, CJ is, you know, if you know him, you know he loves to talk and just loves to be around the boys and just brings an energy to the team, which we need. And it's every day with him. You know, I think he still feels like he's a player. So he gets chatting to us every now and then. But we really enjoy it. And his style of play is really free-flowing. You know, he lets us play offensively. And defensively, he you know, wants us to play like how we did on Tuesday against the Cats, which is aggressive, up and in your face. So that's something we're working towards all preseason, and it feels really good to finally have that, you know, come to fruition and know that the hard work we put in leading up to that point, and obviously this COVID disrupted period for us, you know, came out on display on Tuesday.
Gee, Sunday, can I ask you a question? Who's the hardest to man up on, Cotton or Law?
Oh, I'd have to say Cotton. obviously, Law's tough, and they're both
tough.
Unreal players. But the end of the day, I think Bryce, with his speed and his shot making ability, is just next level, and Vic's not too far behind him. Bigger body, so I think he tried to post me up a bit more, and I'd rather that than having to run around 5-6 different screens to make sure Bryce doesn't get a three.
Well, you did a pretty good job,
yeah,
I thought, on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
You played a lot of the first half on Law and then switched to Cotton late in the game just in case he caught fire, but you did a fantastic job. Cam Bairstow, he's had injury problems since coming back from the NBA. He's settled in Adelaide, and he's just getting stronger and stronger with every game. What about his performance on Tuesday night as well?
The Bear was unreal. Obviously, a lot of people forget he's an ex-NBA player, right? So he's played at the highest level, obviously being injury-riddled throughout his career, setting back, but we're so happy to have him. He just does things out there defensively and offensively that just can't teach. You know, he's always in the right spot, always making plays. And a big thing of Bear is, like, he's deceptively athletic and, you know, always gets a hand to the ball. So he was huge on Tuesday, especially down the stretch, being able to get those rebounds and finish those shots for us, which was massive. So we're very thankful to have Bear on our team, that's for sure.
Gee, Sunday, what about our captain, Mitch McCarron? He's leading from the front. He's tough, and gee whiz, it was sensational.
Yeah, Mac is unreal. And look, he does that night in and night out. I think a lot of his work is goes unnoticed sometimes, you know, because he doesn't score the most points, doesn't get the most rebounds, but he just does a bit of everything.
Yep.
And that's our starting point guard. So wherever he goes, we follow. And that's, you know, that showed on Tuesday night with his ability to be able to control the tempo, make sure we're playing at speed, and just taking care of Bryce when I was off, or taking care of Vic as well. So he just does all the little things.
Well, and he was 2 assists off a triple-double on Tuesday as well. Had an amazing game. Now, you take on... You knocked off Perth Wildcats, who were top of the ladder.
Big win.
Which pushed them down to second.
Yep.
So now we take on Melbourne United, who is currently sitting top of the ladder. What do we need to do to get the win on Saturday afternoon?
Good point.
Look, honestly, fellas, it's just rinse and repeat. You know, I think for us to start defensively, when we're up the floor aggressive and set the tone defensively, then we get easy points. And that's who we are going forward. So we've had a really good session today, a really tough one. So we're looking to back that up tomorrow and then Saturday, hoping to, lay that out on the court against United.
Now, Sunday, the body's okay, the leg's okay, and you play the remainder of the year now, no problems?
Yeah, no,
we need,
all good,
we need
mate.
You. We need you.
Nah, everything's good. I'm obviously had my fair share of injuries now, and I think that's me done for the year, hopefully, knock on wood. But, I'll be staying fit. We've got a really good medical staff that are with us around the clock, so we'll definitely be staying on top of that and all the little niggles, as we do have a really tough period coming up in terms of playing 7 games in a matter of, 20 days.
Mm. Mate, before we let you go,
Here we go, Sunday.
I want you to let the Sports Day fans and listeners to know something different about Sunday. What do you do in your spare time? Is there a secret talent that Sunday Detch has?
Whoa!
Oh, secret talent. Good question. Well, look, I've really gotten into golf this year, so I've been golfing a lot with Dusty Hammers and our strength coach Nick Richardson.
What's your handicap?
So we've been doing that in our spare time, and it's a great sport. Obviously, it gets our mind off the game and just helps us relax a little bit. And we've got a few teammates as well who love to get on the course. So that's been a little hobby of ours.
Okay. So are you a big bomb off the tee, drive it 300 metres, or are you more of a stylish around the green?
I'm all short game, mate.
Good on you, Sunday. Thank you for your time. Great to have you back, and all the best for the weekend. We appreciate your time.
Thanks so much, fellas. Appreciate it. And hopefully to get a big win on Saturday night.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks, Sunday. And the Adelaide 36ers are taking on Melbourne United on Saturday.
Gee, he's a good player. Paul, you know more about basketball than I do, but he's a good player.
He's a very, very good player and one of the best defensive players in the league. And 5 p.m. on Saturday at the Adelaide Entertainment Centre.
Can they knock United off, do you think?
They can. They play like they played against the Wildcats. Well, they will win. Yeah. It's that simple. You could win $5,000 thanks to My Money House. You could win $5,000 cash. For details and your chance to win, visit icanwin.com.au. My Money House, empowering people to live lives on their terms. We might take a break, KG.
Mate, you're giving houses away, money.
Oh, money, it's all happening.
You're like bloody Father Christmas.
After the break, we'll speak to Todd Gray from Greyhound Racing. This is Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. The super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. And Lumo SA. Aussie owned, made for Adelaide.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Ken Cunningham, Paul Bonza with you. And on the line, the man, the guru, the greyhound guru, Todd Gray. And it's a great night at Angle Park Greyhounds. Todd, how are you going?
Oh, with an introduction like that, well, very well.
Actually, you put a smile on David Woolley's face for the first time in a long while. He got some cash last week from you, Toddy. You tipped him a winner.
Well, so far, the end of 2021 was rubbish. Let's not muck about. But so far, we're off to an okay start in 2022. So onwards and upwards, and let's leave the past in the past.
Now, what about tonight? Can we get some more cash tonight? Because I'm more desperate than David Woolley. I need some cash, Johnny.
I hope we can, lads. Because I got three for you, lads. But I got two in one race.
Oh,
a little bit different. Yeah. Well, tonight, lads, tonight's big feature race is the 2022 John Gray Memorial. John was my grandfather, lads, and we saw the heats ran last week. Tonight we got the final. And John used to be a bookie, and I always like trying to find one at a bit of bookie's odds in his final. I've actually found two here. I think the main play in this one, lads, is race 8, number 1, Webleck Blade.
Right.
Massive chance at leading here. In fact, I think he will lead. 5.22 to the post last week is absolutely elite, and all these favourites in this race are drawn absolutely dreadfully. They're just drawn to get traffic and just no luck at all. Look, Weblek, to be honest, and the trainer Ray Barker, this would be a big thrill for him to win the John Gray. He'll be the first one to tell you. Not the best dog in the race. Probably wouldn't even be in the best three, but it's the best drawn. And sometimes all you need to do is show pace to win races. Pace wins races, lads. Weblek Blade will lead and run a very cheeky race, and you can get around about 10 or 12 to 1. That's the main play in that race. And there's one here just worth having a saver on as well, about $15. And it's his next door neighbour, number 2, Alpha Yeary. Thrown this bloke out a few times already.
Yep.
Again, he's look, he's. I reckon you've got red wine in the cellar, which might be younger than this bloke. He's an old fella, but it's still life to lead yet, right? If the one leads, which I think it will, there's every chance he will lob directly behind it, and he likes the rails. And if these favourites find trouble, and there's a lot of dogs that need to lead here, he's got a pretty solid last section. But that's only worth nickels and dimes. Make sure your main play is Weblek Blade. And make sure you don't want to lose if Alpha Yeary wins. So I'd be happy to back them both a little bit each way.
Right.
They're both double fixed.
Okay, well, Toddy. Now, what about race 10, number 4? Is that your best bet?
That is the best, lads. This one's easy. Race 10, yep, number 4, Rugged and Rennie, ready. Look, there's no pace to his immediate inside and not much on his outside either. I reckon he's a big chance of lobbing a lot closer than he used to. He's been running over to 600 metres, stepping back to 500. The 7 or the 8, one of them will probably lead, and I think we can lob second, and I'll be very disappointed if he cannot run down them, barring any incidents.
Beautiful.
He's around at the $2.80 mark, lads, and he does look a good thing for mine.
Now, Tolly, before you go, what about one of your litter, Sassy, had success?
Yes, very good memory, yeah. Sassy or Lady McBain got the cash at Gawler yesterday. That's 3 wins for the litter now. Honestly, lads, she really did deserve to win a maiden sooner or later. The worst thing is she keeps drawing box 1. Most people think that's over the moon, but she's a wide runner, and she's had box 1 6 times in 9 starts. But she cracked it yesterday. Look, it was a brave run. Didn't exactly set the time on fire, but look, she showed a lot of nous and a lot of courage. She pushed through, and look, they don't pay on times, lads. We won. That's the main thing.
Good on you, Toddy.
Thanks, Todd. Thanks for your time.
No worries at all, legends.
All right, says Todd Gray there with some greyhound. A couple of good tips there. Hopefully we'll cash in.
I'll have a little dabble on those tonight, Paul. Just a little,
Little pineapple.
I get some cash.
All right, you can play Keno from $1 a game. Withdraws every few minutes. And there's always a time for a spot of Keno. Play today and gamble responsibly. Now it's time for True and False, Cage.
True and False.
And is your car feeling like a sauna? Well, for an expert aircon service, book at repcoservice.com. All right, true or false?
Right, you want to start or you want me to... You start, Paul.
No, I'll start.
Yep.
Will Australia win the Women's Ashes?
True. They will bolt in, Paul. They're a class act and they've got the wood on England and I reckon they're good things, Paul. Yes, true.
Right.
Absolutely true.
What you got for me?
Okay, the Strikers will defeat Hobart in tomorrow night's BBL final.
That is very true.
Oh, gee.
They're a lay down.
Oh, you're confident. Ooh,
carry back, head back. Just, yeah, it's done. It's done.
You've heard
true.
It. Folks, you heard it from Paul. they're done.
All right. Here's a true or false. Will Chris O'Connell and Madison Inglis win their next round games at the Australian Open?
Well, I saw both of them today, and if they play like they played, I reckon they're a huge chance. In fact, I'll say true, Paul. I reckon they'll get over the line. They are. I'm maybe going a little bit too heavy, but no, I'm true. No doubt about that. Okay. Now what can I say? Oh, okay. Here we go. Will the Strikers win the Big Bash League title?
Oh.
Will they win it all?
Well, it's been 3 truths. Will they win it all?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh. Unbiased true.
That's not true.
That's not true. That's false, the unbiased bit. All right. I got one for you. True or false? Has the BBL saved the best to last with Glenn Maxwell's unbelievable record-breaking knock last night and Cam Boyce? 4 wickets and 4 balls. Double hat-trick.
Glenn Maxwell, that's true. Glenn Maxwell, 154 of 61 balls. That is dead set true, Paul.
I reckon it's false. You know why I reckon it's false? Because the best bit of the BBL will be the Strikers winning the whole thing.
Exactly.
That's going to be true.
I love it.
Is your car feeling like a sauna? For an expert aircon service, book at your local Repco authorised service centre at repcoservice.com. Kate, it's been fun. It's been an absolute pleasure for me to be here a couple of days this week.
It's been good.
Looking after Hookie's seat.
I've enjoyed your company, and it's been good, Paul. I'm thoroughly enjoyed. Have you back, son. Oh, a bit of fun.
I'd love to come back. Right. And Ben Hook in the chair with you tomorrow night. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks for listening. Thanks to all our guests. And this has been Sports Day SA.
Sports Day for Kia, the super fast charging all electric Kia EV6. And Lumo SA, Aussie owned, made for Adelaide.